Turn to Proverbs 8:28. So we got one more. We'll finish up the clouds here, which we're already been talking about. Proverbs 8:28. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. So when he established the clouds above, wisdom was with God when he established the clouds and strengthened the fountains of the deep. That's there in verse 30, when I then was I by him as one brought up with him. So she was by him when he established the clouds above. To establish means to render stable or firm, to strengthen by material support. So he made the clouds stable and firm. He gave them material support. If you think about it, you'd have to do that, wouldn't you? You think about clouds being just vapor and all, you know, they don't weigh anything. Well, you know when you get like a torrential rain of, say, 10 inches of rain?
You weigh something.
Well, take 10 inches of rain and cover however big of a section of earth that 10 inches fell on, and it's going to weigh billions of pounds of water. I mean, you're talking like an incredible weight of water. And where did it come from? The clouds. Mm-hmm. God had to strengthen, he had to establish the clouds above. Because otherwise, they wouldn't stay up there. Because they weigh an astronomical amount of weight. Mm-hmm. If you think about it. Mm-hmm. A cloud is a visible mass of condensed, watery vapor floating in the air at some considerable height above the general surface of the earth. Have you ever wondered why clouds? Because they have all that water in them. And they weigh tons, you know, probably millions of tons. How is it that they stay up in the air? Why don't they fall down to the earth since they weigh so much? And there's nothing but air between us and them.
And how rain can stay in the clouds, but something else will fall through them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why does it stay up there? Well, I have the answer for you. So the Lord made the lower atmosphere out of denser air, and he thereby established or rendered stable or firm the clouds above the earth, which are made of less dense watery vapor, which therefore float above the heavier air below them. So the water, the air down here is heavier than the air up there, and it's heavier than the water vapor up there. So the air here is heavier than the water up there, and that's why they float in the atmosphere.
It's kind of like when you go to the mountains and the air is...
It's lighter.
Thinner. They mm-hmm. say thinner, but mm-hmm. maybe it's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. You're winded easily.
Less yep. oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's mm-hmm. denser down here, which means the air is heavier. So the clouds are the waters above the firmament. That's the second heaven, the sky, the atmosphere. Remember, we saw that in the last verse in Genesis 1, 6 through 8. So they're the waters above, the firmament is the atmosphere, and the atmosphere holds them up because the firmament, the atmosphere, is thicker and denser than the water vapor above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep is the next part. To strengthen is to give moral support, courage, or confidence to a person. To encourage, hearten, and spirit, fix, and resolution. Now, he wasn't giving moral support to the clouds because the clouds are not moral beings, so they did not need any moral support. They didn't need a pep talk. They didn't need anything like that. Mm-hmm. To strengthen also means to give physical strength to give physical strength to make stronger or more robust a person, his body, or members, to increase the functional vigor of a bodily organ or its powers. It also means to reinforce some material thing by an additional support, add thickness or covering. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep, he reinforced them. He gave them additional support. He made them thicker. He made them stronger. He gave them physical strength, in other words. At the same time that God divided the waters above the firmament from the waters below it, he also strengthened the fountains of the deep. The fountain is a spring or source of water issuing from the earth and collecting in a basin, natural or artificial, also the head spring or source of a stream or river. So the fountains of the deep are waters that come from deep below the earth's surface. So they're, you know, fountains coming out, and the fountains of the deep are coming, like, from the bottom of the ocean floor. The deep is the oceans. Mm-hmm. The fountains of the deep would be water coming up through the ocean floor. Okay. Now, at the time of the great flood of Noah's day, the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the waters in them sprang forth and flooded the earth. Genesis 7 and verse 11.
Genesis.
No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, I believe that this is where the majority of the water came from that flooded the earth, was underneath the earth. I mentioned this last time, I think. Mm-hmm. Was it last time? The hydroplate theory states that on the ocean floor and below the earth's crust. So you got about 10 miles of earth crust. And then below that was about 3/4 of a mile of warm, and they think really saline, like salty water. So about 3/4 of a mile of water, 10 miles of earth above it, under heavy compression, obviously. And then when they broke open, all that water spewed out and went way up into the upper atmosphere and then rained back down. So a lot of the rain that came, I think, probably came from the fountains of the deep. It sprayed up into the atmosphere and rained back down. And it really makes sense, because if you look at the earth, you've heard of the Mid-Atlantic Fault Line. There's a fault line, like a whole ocean mountain range, that goes pretty much around the whole earth, through the Atlantic and the Pacific, right around, it's called the Ring of Fire, I think is another same name for it. And that's what split, it's basically like this earth split in half pretty much, and water sprayed out in both directions and flooded the earth. And then as it split in half, as the water's coming up through the earth's crust, it's chipping away and eroding at the earth's crust, and this chasm gets wider and wider and wider as all this water is pushing through it. And as it gets wider and wider, then the inner parts of the earth, like the lava, magma, all that stuff underneath there, starts to push up out of it. And as it pushes up, so then it's the plates of the earth are being spread apart, and they're raising up, and then they're pushing away and crashing into each other. And you ever notice how almost every mountain range on the earth goes north to south? The Rockies, the Andes, right? Most mountain ranges go north to south. And it makes sense, because the earth split in half, started to come apart, everything started to move away from each other, and the plates were crashing into each other and made all the mountain ranges during the flood. You see there's pictures of some mountain ranges where, and I think the mountains were probably soft, like lava at that time or something. The rock was melted, and you can see like the fault lines are wavy. Like normally the lines would be straight. You know, the geologists tell us that, you know, it was millions of years of layers being laid down, and we get these rock layers that are perfectly straight. Well, a lot of these rock layers look like sine waves. I mean, they're up and down because they were compressed. When you compress something, then it, you know, makes it go up and down like that. So anyway, it's a theory, mm-hmm. but it's a theory that matches up with the Bible quite well. But anyway, Genesis 7 and verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, there could have been water. Some people think that there was a canopy of water around the earth, mm-hmm. Not just the clouds, but there was actually water. And people theorize that that's why that might have caused different atmospheric conditions in those days, higher oxygen levels, less UV light coming through or something. That's why people were able to live to 900 and some years old, because of the different atmospheric conditions, higher oxygen levels, and so on. It could be. And it could be that the fountains of the great deep were broken up, which they were. And also it could be that the Lord allowed all that water to come down to earth that was around the earth. I don't know for sure. We'll find out someday, I hope. But anyway, one thing's for sure, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the Lord had strengthened them prior to that. And it was necessary for the fountains of the great deep to be strengthened in the beginning of the creation in order for them to hold up for another 1,650 years until the time when God broke them up and flooded the earth. He had to make sure they were nice and strong, because if they weren't strong, they might have broke, you know, like right after Seth was born or something, and that would have been a disaster. They needed to wait 650 years until Noah's day when the earth was full of violence, and then they needed to break up. So God used his wisdom to design the earth in such a way that it would hold back the fountains of the great deep until the appointed time. And this, I have to say, is an engineering marvel. That would take a lot of wisdom to design all that, wouldn't it? Yep, he picked out the proper means to get to the end. And in this case, what was the end of strengthening the fountains of the great deep?
Destruction.
To destroy the earth and destroy man upon it, which he knew would sin and the earth would be full of violence 1,650 years later. God's a planner. He planned it all out, did exactly what needed to be done so that his accomplished end would happen in due time. So that takes care of Proverbs 8:28. Next time we'll get to verse 29, Lord willing. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.